You're listening to the Politics in Action Report at CJMQ 88.9 FM. I am Emily, bringing you your national, provincial, and local Canadian political news. In 2017, the amount of work-related accidents causing death totaled to 17 workers. An article from Radio Canada states the Estrie Workers' Compensation Committee remains worrisome, as this number has represented an 85% increase from last year. According to CNESST, Commission des normes de l'équipe de la santé et de la sécurité de la travail, stated that 230 Quebec workers had died of work-related deaths last year, which was the largest number in 25 years. This has brought rise to a march that had taken place in Sherbrooke last Friday, that was dedicated to workers who had been injured or passed away last year. Prevention is key. Prevention, according to the Workers' Compensation Committee, remains a cost for employees. Typically, work-related deaths are associated with blue-collar jobs, given they are the most risky between white-collar and blue-collar jobs. It's a given, with higher production speeds, it is becoming increasingly harder to protect workers. What does all of this revolve around? Essentially what everything is all about. Money. Generating profit has become the utmost importance of firms, and with that comes less consideration for workers' safety and well-being. Like with anything, there is a trade-off. Producing more means making more money, and if machines are operating at maximum capacity, there is a greater likelihood of a work-related accident to occur. When accidents happen, firms ultimately throw money at the problem, whether it is at the worker for their injury or the family of the deceased. According to the Canadian Centre for Occupational Health and Safety, compensation for occupational cancer deaths in Canada has increased in recent years. So why do firms pay out to compensate for mistakes? So that the company does not look bad and financial compensation softens the blow. Maintaining the brand of the company is ultimately what determines whether or not it is successful. As with any decision, there will be a trade-off. For companies, it has been increasingly a trade-off between increasing revenue and worker safety. What we can tell from these statistics is that blue-collar jobs are increasingly becoming riskier jobs, specifically in the Estrie region. As the Quebec provincial election is nearing, we have already seen much of the campaigning conducted by Couillard's Liberals and the opposition, the CAQ and the PQ. It appears the debate portion of the election period is now underway. So the question I now have to ask, would you have ever thought that you would be able to watch a Quebec provincial debate in English? As it stands, it looks like the party leaders will be facing off in an English debate, of which the date is yet to be determined. The political leaders of each party, Quebec Liberals, PQ, CAQ, and the Quebec Solidaire, are each willing to conduct a debate in English. Quite surprisingly, the party leaders seemed enthusiastic about the idea. I mean surprising in the sense that the majority of Quebec's provincial parties are typically most concerned with enriching the French language. But why not debate in English? If it is not their first language, it is not only a suitable political challenge to discern each leader's capability over each other, but as well as a mechanism of appealing to Quebec's English population. Recall the Couillard government had found in its survey of Quebec Anglophones that they had felt hurt and isolated from the Quebec government. And like any election, it is always relevant for a party to appeal across many demographics. Especially in this year's election, when it will likely be a close win between the Quebec Liberals and the CAQ, the parties will need all the votes they can acquire to secure the lead, although it will not be likely that the winning party will secure a majority government. This demonstrates political parties are willing to do anything they can to appeal to the Quebec masses. This is, I believe, the first time in Quebec's history that a provincial debate will be conducted in English. When I think about it as a Quebec Anglo, I don't know many members of my community that are either engaged or involved in Quebec politics. Sure, on election day, we all vote to exercise our right as democratic citizens, but no one really talks about how parties are performing, other than the fact that the PQ's desires for sovereignty frightens us. Holding a debate in English is just one way of engaging the English population in the next election. It's also bound to gather a lot of attention and viewer ratings for that debate. I'm quite intrigued and would like to see how each party leader performs when speaking English. My prediction is that they will present themselves differently speaking English than they do in French. So we will really see who is able to maintain their charisma and confidence as a politician. We will really get to see which leader possesses that je ne sais quoi. For those who are currently listening to my broadcast, please stay tuned to my future broadcasts as I will provide a commentation on the Quebec English debate. So it seems like a lot has occurred within the realm of Quebec politics this week. My former story was specifically about Quebec provincial politics, but this one takes us to federal politics. Adding insult to injury, the 7 former Black Quebecois members refused to return to the party even if Ouellette does not stay on as party leader. Part of the reason for this is the fact that the departing members were not pleased with Maxime Ouellette's speech that was delivered at a conference in Drummondville. Rather, the members were insulted. It was probably the part where she mentioned, with no respect for authorities, then there is no moving forward. When you think about it, the only way a party can move forward is if they are all on the same page. So it's almost like she's implying, if it is not my way, it is no way. So Ouellette is implying that the leader's voice is the only one that matters. Ouellette sounds much like a tyrant or a dictator, rather than operating the party democratically. Of course, when someone doesn't play fair, other members can find their way around it. Perhaps Ouellette had spoken too soon, and as a result, the departing party members are looking to develop an alternative and independent party from the Black Quebecois, which is essentially giving Ouellette a run for her money. The new party is expected to be the new voice of Quebec. The party, whatever it will be called, has yet to elect or appoint a leader. Despite the fact that some foundations need to be laid out, I do think it will help to give Quebecers a change from the Bloc, which has increasingly become irrelevant to Quebecers. Resultingly, Quebecers will change their support for an alternative party, federal parties that have appealed to Quebecers, such as Liberal Party in the 2015 election. Justin Trudeau was bilingual, and he appealed to a good segment of the Quebec population. Despite prospects to make an alternative political party that will compete in the 2019 federal election, I doubt it will have enough time to cover ground in preparation for the election. As any brand or business owner would know, the startup is the most difficult part. This can be even more so in terms of staying relevant and maintaining a continuous level of support. I have my doubts because if one Quebec-based party has proven not to be successful in the realm of federal politics, what are the chances for a new Quebec party? The island of Saint-Pierre and Miquelon plans to have 2 ferries travel between the island and Newfoundland all year round. The ferries are expected to be able to capacitate 200 passengers in 15 vehicles, making room for many tourists to travel between the islands interchangeably. Ultimately, what this development demonstrates is that over time, we are able to improve our transportation systems. We are always adapting and generating time-efficient ways of traveling to various places much swifter and easier. Prior to the adaptation of this ferry, how would people get to the French Islands? By plane? Hardly anyone would ever think to vacation at the islands when Newfoundland has become the trendy vacation spot. It could be a manner of competing with Newfoundland within the tourism industry. Who knows? If people are on vacation in Newfoundland, they may desire to visit the French Islands with convenience of the ferries. The mayor of Fortune, Newfoundland, stated that the island does not get the attention it deserves, given the population on the Saint-Pierre-Miquelon Islands are the highest among the French islands. It is likely a tourist-friendly and likely has many attractions suitable for tourists. Upon visiting the website's tourist section for the Saint-Pierre-Miquelon Islands, I couldn't help but notice that the islands look distinctively like Newfoundland. The colored homes, the emphasis on the fishing industry. So why wouldn't the islands get the attention it deserves? As I've mentioned before, it is being outshined by Newfoundland, which is the trendy hotspot of Canada. The project would have been enacted sooner with adequate funding, but negotiations are underway between the French and Canadian government to strike a deal on investments. It does look like this will be a joint tourism initiative between the two countries to increase tourism within the regions. So this is just another example of countries helping each other out to make improvements within their own sectors. This is an imperative part of countries' relations with each other, or diplomatic relations, because it is inevitable countries will need to help each other out to move ahead globally. Thank you for listening to another segment of Politics in Action. I am Emily at CJMQ 88.9 FM.